Day Player in for Bob Surratt right here on 720 WGN. So 1929 was a momentous year in American history and right here in Chicago. That's right. The Valentine's Day Massacre happened. The, Popeye debuted in a comic strip. The great.
I didn't know that.
Yep, it was all you right here in Chicago. Popeye debuts in a comic strip, The Great Depression, and drumroll please, Bob Newhart was born. He's a comedy legend who just turned 91 last week, and he joins us this morning. Hi, Bob.
Well, I'm not sure how momentous that event was in Oak Park.
There's a lot going on.
Another kid being born during the Depression.
Yeah, probably. Well, first of all, a belated happy birthday. Just a little bit. You always keep busy, and that's why age doesn't matter, right?
Not really. You know, I've been lucky. My dad died at 85, and my mother died at 94, so I guess I got her genes. I feel good. Thank God the mind is still there. It may be gone tomorrow, but today it's still there.
Yeah, we were talking last week about the fact that, you know, it was a year ago that, you know, you celebrated your 90th birthday, and you went to celebrate in Vegas, you know, because that's where you lived for 20 years. I mean, it was kind of a different time, wasn't it?
That's right. We took the kids, and my wife Jenny asked me where do you want to have your birthday. I said, you know, I want to have it in Vegas. I don't want to have some big party, and you know, you never get to see half the people there, and
true,
half the people you don't know, and I just like the family. I like to go to Vegas because Jenny and I spent 20 years of our lives there, mm-hmm. and the kids have great memories. They'd be with us in the summertime, and Vegas in the 60s was great. I mean, the boys were running it, but they knew how to run it.
They did, and it was a different time back then. I remember talking to your old pal Don Rickles about it, and he'd say, you know what, it was you got straight answers, you knew who to go to, and now it's 50 people this, it's families, you're running into kids at 1 o'clock in the morning walking around the casinos. It's changed quite a bit, hasn't it?
That's right. And then this ties into St. Valentine's Day Massacre, which involved the boys.
Yeah, that's true. That's right. See? It all comes full circle, Bob. It all comes full circle. And you know what's even greater? I mean, besides celebrating 91 years on this planet, there's a couple momentous things happening this year. Number one, the 60th anniversary of when you took that first step into the business by signing a contract with Warner Brothers Records to release your first album.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. That was I recorded in, I think it was January of 1960, and it was in Houston, Texas, which was a place called the Tidelands, which was the only place that would take a chance on a guy who'd never been on a nightclub floor before. And we made the album. I thought it might. I had my fingers crossed and maybe sell 10,000, maybe 15,000 albums. And as you know, Dave, it went crazy. It sold 1.5 million.
Yeah.
Which was a lot in those days in 1960.
Mm-hmm.
And one album of the year.
Yeah.
Over some pretty tough competition.
Yeah, Frank Sinatra, Nat King Cole, Harry Belafonte. It's amazing to me. I mean, it won the Grammy, and it was number one on the charts, obviously, for quite some time, but it's also ranked the 20th best-selling album of all time.
I've heard that. I mean, you know, given that I forget what we were then, I think we were like 200 million or 250 million. Mm-hmm. Now we're 330 million. So a given, you know, factoring that into it, I guess it's funny because I didn't know this. I had another achievement which I was unaware of. I had the number one and number two album on the Billboard charts My first album went to number one, and my second went to number two, and then number two went to number one, and number one went to number two, and that was for like 30 weeks.
Yeah.
But then that was recently broken by Guns N' Roses. I hated to lose, that achievement, but at least it went to a Palamon, to Axe.
To Axe, of course.
Yeah.
Of course.
We talk on the phone all the time.
I'm sure. Yes, I'm sure you do. I'm sure you do. We have a couple of record players in our house, and my daughter said to me before the pandemic, it was sometime in January or February, she said, what would you normally do as my age? She's 14, 15 years old on a Friday night. And I said, well, go to a record store. So we went. I took her to a record store. She bought her Billie Eilish on vinyl. She has a record player in her room. And I, even though I have the CD, I never had the original vinyl of the Button Down Mine of Bob Newhart. So I got to walk away with an original record from 1960. It's pretty cool.
1960, huh?
Yeah.
You know, it's funny. I worked, one of the places I worked when I was a kid was a record store, because you'd take the record and you go into a booth and you listen to it.
Wow.
And then you decide whether you wanted. So I was, I don't know, in my teens, I guess, somewhere.
That's great.
So the owner of the record store said, hey, I want you to play this record to see what you think of it. So I said, okay. So I listened to it. I said, I don't think it's gonna amount to anything. He said, okay, thanks. That was Ella Mae Morris's Boogie.
I love that you got to go listen to it in the booth before you bought it.
Yeah.
That's old school. That's old school. Yeah. We're talking to comedy icon Bob Newhart as we celebrate his 91st birthday. And there's more when we come back after a look at your morning weather. Dave?
All right, Bob. What is it?
Well, I was an innkeeper in this crazy little town in Vermont.
I'm happy for you. Good night.
Nothing made sense in this place. I mean, The maid was an heiress. Her husband talked in alliteration. The handyman kept missing the point of things. And then there were these three woodsmen, but only one of them talked.
That settles it. No more Japanese food before you go to bed.
Dave Plyer here on 720 WGN. We're talking to comedy icon Bob Newhart. So you were talking a little bit about the Bob Newhart show in the 1970s. Felt a little bit more comfortable in that role than the first variety show you did in the 1960s. But in the 1980s, Newhart was bigger than life. And here's the other milestone that we celebrate this year. It is the 30th anniversary this year of the Newhart finale.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. That's right. And that was my wife's idea. That was Ginny's idea.
Right, right.
It's a long story. I don't know if we have time for it.
Yeah, let's talk.
You can always edit it out,
No, go ahead. Tell me the story.
It was the sixth year of Newhart, the show that took place in Vermont.
Mm-hmm.
And I was kind of unhappy with CBS because they were they moved us around.
Yeah, they're
bouncing. We were a hit, and they moved us around. They moved us to 9:30, and then they put another show in at 8:30, and so we were at a Christmas party here in L.A. and we were waiting in line to get a picture taken with the host and hostess. And I said to Jenny, I said, I think this is going to be the last year of Newhart, which eventually wound up being 8 years, but at that time it was six.
Mm-hmm.
And as Ginny said, without a beat, she said, you ought to wake up like a dream. It should be a dream because there were so many inexplicable things. Like Larry, Daryl, and Daryl.
Right. Yeah.
I always thought they were straight out of Deliverance. What were they doing in Vermont?
Absolutely.
And then we had a maid who was an heiress, and So I said, "Honey, oh, that's a great idea." And Suzanne Pleshette happened to be at the same party And we told her the idea, and she said, if I'm in Timbuktu, I'll fly back for that.
Yeah, I bet.
So we went on for two more years, and then I gave the writers the idea for the show. And, it really caused quite a stir.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's still one of the top-rated finales just by reviews by themselves, and also the ranking of the ratings for that. You know, it was a shock. And first of all, I didn't know it was you guys planned it 2 years out of that. That's pretty cool. But, you know, watching that show that day and seeing everything wrap up and seeing you get hit on the head with that golf ball, it immediately, you know, because some people, you know, don't always just watch TV. They're doing other things. You sat in your chair. You're like, okay, wait, where is this going? And then this famous bedroom, and you got to think about this too. I mean, you know, the bedroom from the Bob Newhart show, yours and Susie's, you and Emily's room, bedroom was so iconic. The bed, the lamps, the bedspread, everything.
Well, the bed was the first double bed that a married couple on television had slept in. I mean, prior to that, the Dick Van Dyke Show, they had separate beds because America,
right.
You know,
we're
television
ready.
Didn't want to tell America that. Yeah. That married people slept in the same bed.
It's crazy.
So,
yeah. So,
and when we were filming it, because we filmed it in front of a live audience, and we revealed the Bob Newhart bedroom set, they started applauding.
of course.
They realized.
Because they got it.
If they play it again, at that time you'll hear some applause. It was quite an occasion, yeah.
But, I mean, it wasn't even just about a couple sleeping in the same bed. That bedroom was such a centerpiece for conversation between a husband and a wife.
Yeah, we started that thing about she turned off the light and I turned it back on, or I turned off the light, she turned it back on. And I think I remember in the final episode, I said to Susie, I had this dream about owning an inn in Vermont, and... she said, Susie said, you know, okay, no more Chinese food before you go to bed. She turned, and I said to her, I said, you know, honey, you should wear more sweaters. And she said, and she turns off the lights, and then the light came back on, and she said, what do you mean more sweaters?
That's right. Mary Fran wore all those sweaters. And that was such an 80s thing, right? to wear the sweaters. Yeah. It was brilliant. It was brilliant from front to back. All your shows were. And, you know, and you're still keeping very busy. I know before the pandemic, you were still making appearances. You know, maybe that's something still in your mind that you still want to do some of that stuff. But, I mean, keeping busy is a big part of this, isn't it, Bob?
It is, yeah. It really is. What's funny about it is I don't know when. I mean, I'm 91 now. I don't know how soon the American public is going to want to go into a 1,500-seat auditorium and sit next to somebody else. I think it's going to take a year or two or maybe three before people are ready for that. You know, it's a different world. It's going to be a different world we're going to be living in. And I think that's one of the things. It's going to take people a long time to get over the habits that we've had to accumulate.
Yeah. And, I mean, hopefully we'll have a vaccine and that will take care of some of that. But you're right. People are going to be a little gun-shy. And maybe there's different ways to do it. You know, I watched the MTV Music Awards a week and a half, 2 weeks ago, and it was all done virtually. And people watched it online. So, I mean, you know, it's just, you're right. The world's going to change a little bit. But I think during all this right now, and you know this as well as I do, there's a lot of businesses suffering. But the ones that are really suffering the most are these entertainment venues, these comedy clubs, these concert halls. I mean, that's where the struggle is, because that's where people truly they want to be there, but they don't want to be in a crowded space right now.
Yeah. And for good reason.
Yeah.
You know, it's going to be a different world. I don't know if I'm going to be that crazy about it or not.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like we said earlier, you know, going to Vegas and, you know, where do you want to spend your birthday? Oh, let's fly to Vegas. Well, you just don't fly to Vegas anymore, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, it makes you you really did take things for granted now that you're in this position, right? And you're like, yeah, you know, and we've got, you know, and we have to figure this out. But, you know, we announced that the Museum of Broadcast Communications here in Chicago is set to salute you sometime. We're hoping next year. We'll see what happens for the inaugural Bob Newhart Excellence in Television Award, you know, something that we wanted to ground with somebody that we just love and respect in the city of Chicago. And hopefully, you know, and we go, God, Bob, you're just you're a comedy legend. And it's
well, that would be very special for me to, you know, Chicago is always a special place in my heart. I love the city. I love the fact I grew up there, you know, and then to be in a museum in Chicago is it's quite an honor.
Well, it's an honor for us. And you're a great guy, Bob, and a good friend. And just want to say thank you again and happy birthday on 91 years. And maybe you and I, we could start planning your 100th, huh? What about that? Maybe we'll do it in Vegas. It'll be a blast. Come on.
All right. It wouldn't be my birthday without talking to you, Dave.
Thank you, Bob.
Thank you, Dave.
All right. Take care, pal.